When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. The Zodiac Killer, Letters from Hell. Welcome, dear listeners, to Whispers from the Dark. Tonight, we plunge into the chilling heart of late 1960s Northern California, a landscape of rolling hills and vibrant counterculture that was brutally scarred by the terrifying reign of America's most elusive and taunting serial killer. This is the story of the Zodiac Killer, a nameless specter who used not only bullets and knives, but also words and symbols to wage a psychological war on a terrified public and the police, leaving behind a trail of blood, baffling ciphers, and letters from hell that continue to mock justice. Our nightmare begins on a dark, desolate stretch of road. On December 20th, 1968, in the quiet, isolated rural area of Lake Herman Road in Vallejo, California, two high school sweethearts, David Faraday and Betty Lou Jensen, were on their first date. They were parked in a lover's lane, a common, innocent scene, until a car pulled up behind them. A shooter emerged, forcing them out of their vehicle. David was shot once in the head. Betty Lou, attempting to flee, was shot 5 times in the back. Both died at the scene. It was a brutal, seemingly random act of violence, a grim precursor to the terror to come. 6 months later, on July 4th, 1969, another attack occurred just a few miles away at a public golf course on Blue Rock Springs Road, also in Vallejo. Darlene Ferrin and Mike Majot were parked in their car. A vehicle approached, and a man, shining a flashlight into their eyes, opened fire. Darlene Ferrin died, but Mike Majot miraculously survived, providing a crucial, though limited, description of their assailant. These horrific acts of violence, brutal as they were, might have remained isolated local tragedies. But then, the killer began to speak, and his words would forever solidify his place as an unparalleled figure of terror. On August 1, 1969, 3 handwritten letters arrived at 3 different Bay Area newspapers, the Vallejo Times Herald, the San Francisco Chronicle, and the San Francisco Examiner. The sender, in a chilling declaration, took credit for the Lake Herman Road and Blue Rock Springs attacks. Each letter contained 1/3 of a cryptogram, a coded message that the killer claimed would reveal his identity. He demanded that the newspapers publish these ciphers on their front pages, threatening to commit 12 more murders if they refused. It was an audacious act of psychological warfare, an explicit challenge to law enforcement and the public. He signed these early letters with a distinctive symbol, a circle with a cross superimposed over it, a symbol that would become synonymous with dread. The Zodiac Killer had announced himself. The first cipher, dubbed the Z408, was quickly cracked by a high school teacher and his wife, revealing a rambling, ego-driven message. It gloated about the murders, expressed a desire to collect slaves for the afterlife, and offered chilling insights into the killer's disturbed mind, revealing his belief that killing was more fun than hunting in the forest. But the identity remained hidden, camouflaged by the very words he seemed so eager to share. His brazenness escalated. On September 27th, 1969, the Zodiac struck again, this time at Lake Berryessa, a popular recreation spot. In broad daylight, he approached a young couple, Brian Hartnell and Cecilia Shepherd, who were having a picnic. He wore an executioner-style hood over his head, with the Zodiac cross-circle symbol stitched onto it, and carried a pistol. He tied them up with pre-cut clothesline, and, in a horrifying display of cold-blooded cruelty, stabbed them repeatedly with a foot-long knife. Cecilia Shepherd died from her wounds, but Brian Hartnell survived, offering a detailed account of the terrifying encounter. After the attack, the Zodiac took a black felt-tip pen and scrawled a message on the passenger door of Hartnell's car, outlining his previous murders and concluding with his cross-circle symbol and the chilling phrase, "By knife." He then called the Napa County Sheriff's Office, calmly reporting his crime. The audacity was astounding. Less than a month later, on October 11th, 1969, the Zodiac claimed his final confirmed victim, Paul Stein, a taxi driver in Presidio Heights, San Francisco. This was the first murder to occur in a city away from isolated rural roads, and it was witnessed in part by three teenagers looking out a window. They saw a man cleaning the inside of the cab before walking away. Due to a fatal miscommunication between police dispatchers, responding officers were given an incorrect description of the suspect, instructing them to look for a black male, not a white male. This blunder allowed the killer to escape through a quiet residential neighborhood, directly past police officers who had been told to look for the wrong person. The Zodiac later sent a letter to the San Francisco Chronicle, enclosing a piece of Paul Stein's blood-stained shirt as proof, a chilling trophy. This proved the killer's proximity, his knowledge of the police movements, and his utter contempt for law enforcement. The letters continued to pour in, becoming increasingly arrogant, taunting, and bizarre. The bus bomb letter threatened to blow up a school bus. The Halloween card to Paul Avery, a Chronicle reporter who was heavily covering the case, was deeply unsettling, hinting at another murder. The Z340 cipher, a more complex cryptogram of 340 characters, was sent in November 1969. Despite decades of effort, it remained famously unsolved for over 50 years, until finally cracked by a team of amateur codebreakers in 2020. Even after its solution, it provided no clear identity, only more sinister boasts and philosophical ramblings about his perceived invincibility. "I hope you are having lots of fun in trying to catch me," the Z340 read. "I am not the Zodiac. I am the one who makes him speak." Or did it? The ambiguity was part of the terror. The frustration within the various law enforcement agencies, the LAPD, Vallejo Police Department, San Francisco Police Department, and the California Department of Justice, was immense. They faced a killer unlike any other. There was no clear motive beyond a perverse desire for fame and control. His victims were seemingly random. His physical description varied, and he communicated directly, mocking them from the shadows, leveraging the media to amplify his terror. The citizens of Northern California lived in a state of quiet dread, never knowing where the Zodiac might strike next, or if their name would be the next one in a chilling letter. Over the decades, a vast number of Zodiac killer suspects have emerged, each with their own compelling, yet ultimately inconclusive, evidence. The most famous, almost synonymous with the case, was Arthur Lee Allen. A former elementary school teacher, Allen lived in Vallejo, owned a Zodiac brand watch, and had a history of violent behavior and bizarre fantasies. He was interviewed multiple times, his handwriting compared, his alibis scrutinized. Many details seemed to align with the known facts of the case. However, fingerprints and DNA evidence obtained from Zodiac letters and crime scenes never definitively matched Allen, a frustrating dead end that plagued investigators for years. Other notable suspects included Richard Gajkowski, a former journalist with ties to Vallejo and a background in mental health issues, and Lawrence Kane, a man who allegedly knew one of the victims and disappeared after her murder. Even the notorious Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, was briefly considered due to his reclusive nature and bomb-making expertise. But his writing style and motivations ultimately didn't align with the Zodiacs. The sheer number of potential candidates and the lack of a definitive match for any of them only served to deepen the mystery. The last confirmed Zodiac letter was sent in 1974. Then, as abruptly as he began, he fell silent. No more letters, no more murders attributed to him. Why did he stop? Did he die? Was he incarcerated for another crime? Did he simply tire of the game? The questions loom large, adding another layer to the enigma. The case remains officially unsolved, a testament to the killer's perverse brilliance in remaining anonymous and the enduring limitations of forensic science in an era before widespread DNA analysis. The Zodiac Killer case is more than just a series of murders. It's a chilling psychological thriller, a masterclass in criminal self-promotion and terror. It became a cultural touchstone, influencing countless books, films, and documentaries, forever altering our perception of the serial killer. The media, in its eagerness to cover the sensational story, inadvertently played into the killer's hands, making him a household name, a terrifying boogeyman. And even today, with new DNA testing and advanced forensic genealogy, the true identity of the man behind the terrifying cross-circle symbol, the one who terrorized a generation and wrote his own gruesome legend, remains hidden in plain sight, a dark secret that continues to whisper from the shadows of our collective nightmares. Thank you for joining me tonight on Whispers from the Dark. Until next time, may the ciphers of life always reveal their secrets, and may the silence of the night offer you only peace.